You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough.
We've got an interesting show straight ahead for you. We're going to talk with Carol Markowitz today. We will discuss addiction and recovery, a true story, with Craig Brown. And Ari Zolden's going to join us to talk about the very latest in the tech world. But we've got to address race, and we've got to do it now. Kevin McCullough, stay with us.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has
come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, We Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Okay. It's not going to be popular. People are not going to be happy. I understand all of that. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have to tell the truth about what's happening in our world today. Thank you for being here, Kevin McCullough. Thrilled to have you. As I awoke this morning and turned to the news headlines of multiple tellings of the same tragic story, another young person shot while resisting arrest with police, and a city descends into riots and chaos and law-breaking. You could already see the chess pieces being moved to their separate sides of the table. Immediately, people were saying, well, we're going to be so angry that we're going to go loot a Walmart or a CVS or whatever else in a Foot Locker. Foot Locker just gave $200 million last year to Black Lives Matter. That didn't matter to the lawbreakers. They're going to go out and loot because they're not looting for anything just. They're just looking for reasons to loot. I want to deal with this story about Dante Wright out of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, from last night, from Sunday, really. But last night, the riots exalting themselves to a whole nother level. It was not even a year ago, or just over a year ago, that we were dealing with the death of George Floyd, in which, in that case, you had a 10-minute uninterrupted video of a police officer who's now on trial, by the way, with his neck on the man, and there was that was broadcast. It was viral. It went everywhere. The controversy occurred, and while justice was being pursued and the officer was arrested and put into custody, and now a year later is standing trial for the actions. And if you talk to any lawyers that are honest, they will tell you there is no sure way that this is going one way or the other. It's going to come down to the jury. It's going to come down to the best presentation of evidence. But that was a year ago. And what fell out of that following for the next year was violence and murder, mostly of black people, by other black people. Most of the damage done to the private businesses, homes, and individuals in all of the race riots from 2020 were done by fellow African Americans and others who were supposedly raising their fist and marching for justice in George Floyd's case. And what that turned into was a big public discussion of critical race theory and people calling people racists at every turn. And you know what none of it was about? Zero of it was about justice for George Floyd. It got hijacked. It got turned into other things. So when Dante Wright got shot on Sunday by a female police officer, Kim Potter, I believe is her name, just within the shadow of the Derek Chauvin trial that's going on, this entire raw sore scab was pulled off all over again. And as you read through the sequence of events, your heart breaks. Because here's another young person that is dead at an earlier age than they should have been. Your heart breaks for his parents. Your heart breaks for his girlfriend. But if you listen to those who inspired the violence of last night and the night before, you also begin to see something else. And friends, I want us to be very clear about some of the elements that the media is not doing their job in reporting. Dante Wright was pulled over, as I have been pulled over, for expired tags on his car. When you have a car that is not licensed properly by the state in which you're driving, or if it has an out-of-date license that is clear to the officers in the state that you're driving, even if it's from another state, they have the legal right to pull you over. This isn't because you're black. It isn't because you're Latino. It's not because of anything other than you have an expired license. I myself have been pulled over, not once but twice in my life, for an expired license. Usually it was just a brain cramp, forgot to get it done. Ask my bride about this. She'll tell you that sometimes details elude me. So he gets pulled over for that. As they take his driver's license, which is customary practice, it's not something they do because he's black. It's not something they do because he's anything else. When they pull you over, they ask for your license and proof of insurance. It is the normal procedure that happens. And again, it wouldn't be happening if the car he was driving did not have the expired license plates. They run his name through the computer. I've had my name run through the computer. I am not black. They didn't oppress me when they did this. They run his name. There is an open warrant for his arrest that is open in the state of Minnesota. Not only that, he has been recently arrested, as recently as February of this year, in which probationary terms are attached. And over the last 3 years, he's been arrested and convicted multiple times, maybe as many as three times. One of those charges for which he was convicted of was the improper possession of a gun he did not have the legal permission to own. All of this comes up in the police report. They ask him to step outside the car. They attempt to arrest him. He resists that arrest. He disobeys their instructions. He gets back in his car, and tragically, the female cop that's on the scene pulls her revolver instead of her taser. She yells, "Taser, taser, taser, taser," and pulls the trigger. Instead of tasing the young man, tragically, he is shot in the upper torso, but he escapes. He hits the gas and guns it. Eventually, he crashes into another vehicle and dies shortly thereafter of the gunshot wound. Friends, this officer made a mistake, and if you can prove that she did it for a racist reason, then she should suffer the penalties of her actions. That would be justice in a racially blind society. It wouldn't matter her race. She could be white, Asian, black, Hispanic. If she shot him out of racial prejudice, she should serve the sentence for that. There is an investigation looking into that. But let's also be very clear. Dante Wright drove a car that was not legal. He was wanted for crimes that he has not answered for. He has a sketchy past, including weapons that made him of concern for the safety and welfare of people around them to the police officers as they arrested him. Further, he ignored the lawful instructions of the officers, resisted the arrest, and ended up tragically dying before his time. There is nothing more to this case. If Kim Potter committed some act of racism in firing her weapon at a man who was a fugitive from justice, she should suffer the penalty. And I don't know if she did. We will find that out. The investigation will bear that out. But Dante Wright would be alive today if his father had taught him to obey lawful authority, to comply with the law, to drive licensed vehicles properly, to not play with weapons that he did not own and did not have the right, and if he just refused to resist arrest when accountability was exacted. There is nothing more to this story. It is a clear-cut case of a wildly disobedient young man and a tragic series of incidents that took his life. And maybe there's a racial sin on the part of the police officer. That will be investigated. But you know what does not help? Burning anything to the ground or calling all police officers pigs and racists. It's just not true. I'm Kevin McCullough. We've got a lot to get to. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
It's hard to know who to trust when selling your home. If you're retired and looking to sell your home, Calamine & Company Real Estate is the best agency for you. They only represent sellers, putting sellers' needs above everything else. Louis Calamine and his team take a client-focused, old-school approach to real estate. Whatever needs to be done to get the deal closed quickly and for top dollar, Calamine & Company Real Estate gets the job done. They also specialize in selling estate-owned properties and are regularly hired by executors, administrators, attorneys, and even the surrogates court. And perhaps most impressive about them is their 100% success rate. Calamine & Company is the best broker a seller can hire, especially when selling estate-owned properties. Offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-998-1100. That's 718-998-1100. Or go to calamine.com. Clients come first at Calamine & Company Real Estate.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
Sean, I'm so glad that you listen to the show and that you enjoy what we do on 970. Tell me about your experience with Landmark Capital.
You know, I was very fortunate to have discovered David through your show.
Did you feel pressure in working with Landmark?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I had said to him, let me take a chance to do some research on this, and he was very confident that the information that he was giving me was verifiable, and I could feel that over the phone.
Did you get your medals in a timely manner?
I did indeed.
Did you get what you ordered?
Yes, I did.
How would you rate the experience overall from 1 to 10, 10 being high?
10, straight across the board.
Call this number, 844-604-2575. Tell them you heard Kevin McCullough talking about it. Tell them you heard Sean on Kevin McCullough's
broadcast and ask for the resources, ask for the information, get yourself educated, and get yourself protected as we go forward. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
My name is Namrata Singh Gujral. I am a filmmaker and an immigrant. My film, America's Forgotten, uncovers the unintended consequences of a broken immigration system.
The 7-year-old girl died in the desert.
This child came from the country of India.
I'm living in the child. I can go to the police.
I never expected this journey would lead me to a truth that I never intended to find.
A great pillar of the community was killed by a man who had been deported at least twice.
The public would be outraged if they knew the truth.
I found how much Americans are being lied to regarding our immigration policies at the border. My friends, my industry, even my family all rallied against the final message of this film. All credits had to be hidden for fear of retribution. If you care about the future of America, you should watch America's Forgotten.
Use promo code WMCA for additional savings.
Listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Where on Tuesdays, we take some time to chat with Carol Markowitz of the New York Post. I believe one of the most important columnists in the country. She's always making you think and sometimes surprising you in how well she does that, actually, to get you to think differently. But she's back with us, and Carol, always appreciate you being here. Follow her on Twitter, by the way, at K-A-R-O-L. A cool Twitter handle for people that even still have Twitter handles. Anyway, Carol, it's good to have. I'm not bitter.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, you were just telling me off the air that got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that was the vaccine of choice. And I'm guessing you probably went with that one because it was only one shot as opposed
to two. That's right. Yeah. I my husband and I waited for the Johnson & Johnson, actually, because we wanted to have just one quick shot and not have to wait 3 weeks to get a second shot. And then, you know, of course, a few weeks after that before you become, you know, somewhat immune to COVID. So we wanted to just get it done and be kind of a month ahead of the game, if not
and
more.
You didn't have any adverse issues with it at all.
No, we didn't have anything at all. But I think people need to understand that vaccines and all different kinds of medicines have side effects. And this is, you know, kind of maybe the opportunity to discuss risk, which I know we're not going to do because we've decided in the last year that we don't pay any attention to risk, you know, actual numbers. And it's really unfortunate to see everybody from the Biden administration on down completely disregarding what the actual numbers are of these risks. So we have 6 cases of blood clotting out of millions of vaccines distributed. So, you know, I think we're going to find out. I mean, all the cases appear to be young women, women under the age of, I think, 48. I think we're going to maybe see that it's tied to other medications that they take. And I think, you know, this is the kind of thing that we need to be talking about and saying, look, everything in life is a risk. Taking the vaccine is a risk. Not taking the vaccine is a risk. You need to make the calculation for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and instead of just ending the vaccination process altogether for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that's what your argument is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people are going to die because we're not distributing this vaccine. We're not getting shots into arms because of an extremely low number of people who had this bad side effect. I mean, again, I don't want to make any kind of assumptions, but my assumption would be that these women are on birth control pills, which are tend to have a higher level of blood clotting as a side effect. I mean, far, far higher than these numbers, and yet people are given those pills all the time, right? Hmm. So I think it's just the risk factor needs to be weighed, and Americans need to understand risk. And I think I would love to see that be the result of this insanity. Yeah. At least we would have some concept of risk-taking.
I'm going to bring that up with Dr. Nicole Sapphire on my Radio Night Live show this week, because she has been watching this very carefully, and she's always talking about, look, the vaccines aren't bulletproof. You're still going to have,
right.
People are still getting COVID. Our
yeah.
own beloved Matt Sambolin here at the station, 2 weeks to the day from getting the Johnson & Johnson, should have been fully protected, mm-hmm. got exposed to somebody that had COVID. He got COVID. So
yeah.
they don't even work sometimes in the very thing that they're made to work for, much less prevent all other issues. And again, very, very low circumstance, number of times that it's happened. But anyway,
right.
well, along those lines, you take on a very interesting topic in your column this week, because you ask a question about the hysterics of COVID for normal children and normal lives. And if there's been one thing that my bride has been, I don't know, in hyper anxiety about over the last few weeks, it's been that these kids are never going to get normal lives back. Is that
right.
your assessment? You believe that that's
yeah.
kind of what it is?
I mean, I'm absolutely afraid of that as well. I think that we're heading in a direction where people are saying, okay, look, you get the vaccine, you go back to your regular life, but the kids don't have a vaccine. And the fact is, Kevin, and this is the main thing that I want people to take away, they don't need a vaccine because the risk to them of COVID is so tiny. And okay, yes, they probably will develop a vaccine for kids eventually. But the reason that they didn't do it right away, the reason that they didn't lead with a vaccine for kids, is because kids do not have largely bad results from COVID. And, you know, you've had Senator Ron Johnson last spring say that kids are a greater risk, not last spring, in the fall, that they're a greater risk of the flu than they are of COVID. And that's
right.
absolutely correct. More kids die of the flu than have died of COVID-19. And that is, you know, a fact. And we don't keep them locked in their homes during flu season. We don't keep them in masks on the soccer field during flu season. So I'm very worried that we are going to continue to do crazy things. We haven't been sane about this at all. Kids have been locked out of schools. I watched my daughter pitch on a pitcher mound, you know, dozens of feet away from anybody, and yet wearing a mask. And it's hard to let go of that insanity, and I'm afraid that people won't be able to do it.
Well, and I think it's also one thing if it's government telling us to do it. It's another thing for people that have been adversely impacted by all of this to continue to do it. And my own philosophy is, look, you don't want to go to church where they have no masks. You don't want to be on a sports team where they have no masks. You don't want to participate in public where largely mask-free living is going on. You're certainly entitled to that. You don't, number one, have to be a part of any of those things. Number two, you can also choose to voluntarily wear your own mask, which theoretically, Carol, we were told that does more to protect me than people
right.
around me, right? So
right,
if I'm concerned, if I'm immune compromised, for example, and maybe I have a really good reason to not be in a place where a lot of germs are at, maybe I don't do all that stuff anyway, but at the very least, I can wear my own mask, and it doesn't put all that pressure on everybody else around me to feel like they've got to conform just to take care of me.
Yeah. Well, going back to the risk conversation here, you know, the thing is that kids in, like, I saw kids playing sports in Florida without masks on. And why wouldn't we compare the number of kid cases in places where they wear masks versus where they don't wear masks?
Yeah.
You never see that comparison. You never hear that conversation. You're never like, oh, kids in Florida got COVID at the same rate as kids in New York, despite kids in New York being heavily masked all the time. So what is causing this? Why do we continue to do something that doesn't work? And, you know,
well, even
never
beyond that,
conversation.
Dr. Fauci's asked this week, you know, Texas went maskless a few weeks ago. They've had zero uptick, and he had no answer for it.
Right. And meanwhile, Michigan, which is, you know, was one of the tougher lockdown states, was a state where Governor Whitmer wouldn't let you buy seeds to grow food because that was somehow going to cause COVID. Yet they somehow have a really serious uptick of COVID cases. And again, no rhyme or reason, no look at the risk, no consideration of what that can be. You know, Walensky, the head of the CDC, is back to saying they need new lockdowns. And no, we won't be shipping them more vaccine doses. They just need to lock down. And it's hard to watch people suggest the same things over and over again that haven't worked, and yet that's where we are.
Well, I certainly don't think that there's any reason at all why every school district in America cannot be open in September. Even here in the very blue upper northeast, we're going to be, at least in our district, 5 days a week, full classes, not split in half, going every other day, but 5 days. Now, we're not doing the full day yet, but, you know, we've made progress. We're making increments towards that.
Kevin, fight that.
We will. But this is way better. Look, we had kids in class nearly every day of the school year. I had it way better than a lot of people did, so I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying.
I'll complain for you.
We've got to get this behind us, because once you're vaccinated and you've got teachers vaccinated, there's no reason not to do it. Carol Markowitz, it's in the Post. Will COVID hysterics ever let our children live normal lives? Thank you, Carol, for being with us.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax. We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, He is my refuge and my fortress, for He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm who will treat you like family. And not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation. And we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176. And together, we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
Do you want to send your child to a Christian school but are overwhelmed by the cost? Then WMCA's discount tuition program may be right for you. The discount tuition program is a way for parents to send their children to a quality Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition. We've partnered up with some of the leading schools in the New York, New Jersey metro area to help parents to reduce the costs and still have their children receive a quality, faith-based education. Here are just a few of the participating schools. Hawthorne Christian Academy, International Christian School, Kearney Christian Academy. You can see the full list of participating schools at WMCA.com. WMCA is also offering each school the opportunity to promote their school with a full radio advertising campaign. For more information on how you can send your children to a Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition, or how you can get your school enrolled in the program, go to WMCA.com or call Rachel at 212-857-9630. That's 212-857-9630.
Listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yeah, pursuing clarity is what we're all about, and glad to have Carol Markowitz there talking to us about the issue with kids and whether they get back to normal or not. But, you know, one area that has really been radically impacted by COVID-19 as well is the entire attempt for people to get free of drug addiction. And you've seen some public policy kind of address that and say that's why some people that are struggling with this, like addicts, they need to get the vaccines first, et cetera. But what about the bigger issue of healing? What about the pain that's on the inside that manifests itself to the external symptoms of damaging behavior? Craig Brown is the author of Stop Hiding, Start Healing, Discover How to Be Set Free from the Pain and Shames of Your Past so that you can live a life of freedom, meaning, and purpose. And he joins us right now. Craig, congratulations on the book. Thanks for being here. You and I were just talking off air. COVID-19 really has done a number on people that were already trying to, on some level, not necessarily always deal with the issues of their life in the healthiest way possible.
That's right, Kevin. And again, thank you for having me. You know, COVID, recovery alone is a difficult process. To deal with pain, shame, guilt, as a result of addiction or trauma of the past or abuse or whatever that may be, the process of recovery is coming out of isolation, admitting, coming out of hiding, and beginning to heal. And what COVID has done, it has just wreaked havoc on those who are struggling. For instance, if they were hiding before and isolating before COVID, it has gone to an elevated degree of isolation and hiding just as a result of this entire shutdown.
Well, that's all we told them, Craig, for a full year, is stay in your house and don't go anywhere and don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, I know. And here we're on the other end saying, no, get out of isolation, talk, you know. You know, if you're struggling with depression, anxiety, stress, all these different factors, it's just wreaked havoc on folks that are trying to find help. And I'm a firm believer, after 22 years of being in Christ-centered recovery, that and serving in this capacity, that, you know, people heal in circles. People heal heart to heart, face to face. And when you just pull the rug out from under these folks, it has just been extremely difficult. But, you know, and that's prompted my book, you know, Stop Hiding, Start Healing.
Right.
And then COVID came along, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. But, you know, we all hide, Kevin. All of us have, you know, are dealing with issues and struggles. And I've just seen it happen so much in the church that people have to stop going to church to hide and start going to church to heal.
Well, and isn't it that partly because that's the way the enemy of good,
yes,
designs it. The more,
yes,
mystery and shade and shadow and darkness that that can be cast over your questionable actions or things that you may not be proud of, the more power there is. And the adverse is also true, isn't it, Craig, that the second that you kind of lay things out on the table and say, let's really just look at this honestly, like,
yes,
some of that burden and power is evaporated almost in the moment that it comes out.
Yes, absolutely. When people ask me, Craig, after your experience, your personal experience, but your experience in serving in Christ-centered recovery, what's the number one deterrent to people getting well? And it's shame. Kevin, shame comes from the pit of hell. Okay, let's go back to Genesis 3. What was the first thing that happened to Adam and Eve when they were busted, when they were caught? Well, shame. And what did they do? They hid. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were separated. Nothing's changed, Kevin. Nothing's changed, thanks to them. So it's natural for us, natural, due to shame, guilt, failure, pain, to hide it.
Hmm.
That's a coping mechanism we all learned early on. And as a result, I've just cared for thousands of people that have taken that into their adult life. And you are absolutely correct on your second point, and that is, once the light is shed on that, once the pain in their life is greater than their fear of changing, healing, restoration, transformation, a brand new life begins to take shape because they were able to get out of hiding and admit that they had a problem. It's absolutely fascinating when that happens.
I believe that this is true, not just in the big addictive issues of life, but I believe it's even true in marriage and interpersonal relationships and so forth. I think one of the reasons, I'll never forget, right after I was early married many, many years ago, one of the most powerful conversations I ever had with my lovely bride was we were sitting at the dinner table just weeks after coming back from our honeymoon, and we had a very honest conversation about men and sex and how they view things and women and how they view relationships. And I made mention to her that, you know, most men, you know, feel ashamed of the struggle that they have with lust or any of those types of, you know, peripheral related causes to that. And that helps ensure that there's hiddenness, that there's destructive behavior, that there's things. Whereas if you are able to discuss, lay it out on the table, say, this is what I am and this is who I am and this is what I've struggled with, all of a sudden you have partnership instead of isolation, as you mentioned, and then there's a whole different ballgame. But we don't ever get to that point because there's always that initial, it's something that I can't discuss. His book is called Stop Hiding, Start Healing. And, Craig, this is far too short of a time for us to do justice to this. Please come back in the weeks to come because this is related to so much that we're dealing with in the headlines. I'd love to have you come back and talk about more issues as we need them in the future.
I would love to, Kevin. Thank you.
Stop Hiding, Start Healing. Go to Amazon. Get it today. And it's available in ebook and regular format. Stop Hiding, Start Healing. Craig Brown is the author. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
Open the Bible with Colin Smith.
The world is filled with many claims, and sometimes it's hard to tell truth from error. So how are we to assess the claims of Jesus? Well, the Gospels were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospels give you the evidence that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So come and see. Take an honest look at the life of Jesus. Listen to what he said. Look at what he did. Look at who loved him. And look at who hated him. That'll tell you a lot. Most of all, look at how he died. And take a look at the evidence for his resurrection. These are written that you may believe. And that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Are you open to learning the Bible story? Well, then come to OpenTheBible.org.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you of a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
The Ask Sister Jean live gospel broadcast is praying for you. Sister Jean invites you to call in your prayers every Sunday from 5 until 6 p.m. at 718-653-7970. Keep prayer on the air with your donations to Sister Jean at 718-653-7970. Is there something you need prayer for? The Bible quotes in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." If you have a prayer request, call Sister Jean at 718-653-7970. And Sister Jean will pray for you, your families, your job, your struggles, and troubles. Sister Jean's live pray call-in broadcast is Sundays from 5 until 6 p.m. Ask Sister Jean wants to pray for you. To keep prayer on the air live with Sister Jean, please send your donations by calling 718-653-7970. And tune in at 5 p.m. this Sunday for the Ask Sister Jean live call-in your prayers gospel broadcast on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA. We'll be right back.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT. Everywhere I go. Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And on Tuesdays, we like to check the breaking news in the world of technology, and we have the expert on all things related to the technological universe in Ari Zoldan. He is the head of Quantum Media Group, and he rejoins us. Ari, I look forward to our Tuesday chats because I'm such a sucker for technology, though I am afraid that they're gonna, the robots are gonna kill us all one day, and if they don't, then my autonomous car is gonna drive me off the cliff at some point when I don't want it to. But I know, I'm the weirdo that shouldn't be worried about these things. Anyway, welcome back. Good to have you.
Kevin, no problem. And you know, we've been friends for a long time, both, you know, personally and professionally. I've got your back, no matter what. Know that.
You're gonna beat the robots off with a typewriter if I need you to.
I will do that in a heartbeat for you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Speaking of autonomous, and this is a, so on Mondays, I sometimes speak with, Hillary Kramer of Kramer Research Investments, and they have been so bullish on all things related to autonomous, vehicles, manufacturing, et cetera, in recent days. But it really is starting to take to the forefront, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing, and we're starting to see retail getting involved in it as well, which is very exciting. I mean, we've heard, you know, for years, but it's been basically a business-to-business conversation, but now it's coming down to the B2C model, business-to-consumer, which is very exciting. For instance, Domino's just announced they're going to be doing a self-driving car for pizza delivery. And just to understand the magnitude of money, SoftBank invested about $1 billion into this startup, and they're also launching with pilots like CVS, Walmart, and Kruger. The company's name is Nuro, and we're going to be seeing a lot of headlines coming out of that company. But again, autonomous everything. It's not just driving. It's across the board. It's going to be disrupting, again, every single sector. Similarly, what we've seen with the Ubers and the Airbnb of the world. So investments are going to start pouring into the sector, and it's not the future, Kevin. It's happening today.
How long until I pick up my my PDA device, stick in a code, order my pizza through an app that goes to a computer machine at the Domino's that then the machine autonomously makes the pizza, puts it in some way in the delivery vehicle, and the delivery vehicle brings it to me without another human being being involved in the process?
I would be surprised if it's north of 3 to 4 years. They've already got the technology to be able to do it. They're now betaing and pilot testing all this stuff now.
Well, because everything I just named, like, to on some degree, they've already got some of the pieces, right? So I can already order from the app and watch the progress of the pizza be made. I think that does go directly into their system. Now, I think there you still have, like, pizza makers at the store, so that part isn't quite completely fully automated yet. But then if the only human is making the pizza, putting the pizza in the box and sticking the box in the robot car to get it there, we're very doggone close.
Yeah, we are. And today with technology, I always say it's more about the integration, because exactly what you said, we have the bits and pieces. They've already been created. Now, how do we integrate them together so it's completely seamless? And that's always a challenge. And then, you know, you have to couple that with safety and standards and regulations. But there's no questions where we're headed in that direction. You know, you mentioned something interesting, the actual pizza man. Keep in mind, Kevin, that unfortunately that pizza man will be replaced as well with some sort of autonomous machine, and that's unfortunate, because whether you're a chauffeur or you're laying bricks or any type of job that has already been on some level commoditized will be replaced with machinery. So it's going to cause, I think, a serious shift in our labor market. And really the question is now, well, what happens to these, you know, to these people that have spent the past 20, 30 years working in the industry and now they're being by robots.
Yeah, well, and that's becoming a greater and greater reality. And I think that it's going to do a couple of things, Ari. I think that for the scale and efficiency of, you know, big commercial enterprises, I think that the completely autonomous route is going to be perfected. I don't see how businesses avoid, you know, doing that economically long term. But then I think what that's going to create is not necessarily a black market, but kind of an elite market where if you want the handcrafted artisan pizza, there will be a different place that you can go to get that. And the value will be on the fact that it is still handmade and artisan in its, you know, crafting, and that there's going to be a whole different market. It's not going to be like it is now where you have like a Pizza Hut and a Domino's and those guys making kind of half and halves. Domino's and Pizza Hut are going to go completely autonomous at some point. But then you're still going to have the brick oven places that do it the old fashioned way. And that will have greater market value because of that handcrafting.
I agree that will never go away, but I would push back there, Kevin. And I would say that's going to shrink because as technology continues to evolve and learn from itself, it's going to become sharper, clearer. It's going to continue to learn from its mistakes. You know, I used to think that the whole, for instance, the bespoke custom tailoring would never go away, right? There will always be people out there, tailors that can handcraft a suit that machines can't replicate, but they're coming darn close. I have to tell you, they're scanning machines today. If you even go into some retail stores where they'll take hundreds of data points as it relates to points on your body and put it into systems and scanners and the output is amazing in terms of the type of suit you're going to get. So I do agree there will always be a space for higher level bespoke, handcrafted, whether it's food, shoes, suits, but I think that market is very, very slim, and I think mass market is going to take.
I don't think there's any question about it. I think that the commercial side of things eventually will all be, you know, done that way. And it's not that people force will be eliminated. It's that people force will have to operate these machines and robots and computers and tell them what to do and how to do it and that sort of thing over time. But, you know, we'll figure that out as we go along.
Yeah, it's an interesting space to watch. And you know, I'd love to cover with you, Kevin, and the audience. There's something called the fourth revolution. It sounds like, you know, a war field. We're moving into an era right now where it's a culmination of all these new technologies working together. It's called the fourth revolution, what the industry's calling, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Cool.
To follow how things develop over the next couple of years.
And then we're going to pay with everything via blockchain. So that's the end game. See, robots killed us. They won. They took everything. And you didn't have my back, Ari Zoldan. You broke
your
promise.
I have your back, Kevin. If I don't have your back, my avatar is gonna have your back.
Very well said. Talk to you soon. It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low and they're gonna stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you'll be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey, ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women, talcum powder. For decades, studies showed that talcum contained asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product. This May, after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer, talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Buttafuoco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Buttafuoco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And thank you for those of you that come here every day. All we try to do is something very simple. We try to give you the latest in what's going on, some strong understanding of what it is, and why it matters to your life. That's the goal. Breaking news, what it means, why it matters. And I was really happy to hear that yesterday the state of California decided to finally do the right thing for people who go to church. They were more or less forced to by the Supreme Court. But on Monday it became official. They lifted limits on indoor worship services in the face of the U.S. Supreme Court rulings that struck down the coronavirus public health mandates. The State Department of Public Health guidelines said indoor gatherings were strongly discouraged and advised limiting the numbers to 25% of a building's capacity for the two highest levels of the state's four-tier COVID-19 restrictions. The recommended capacity for the two lower levels is about 50%. But these have to be only encouragements, because the Supreme Court said this week that the state cannot regulate it. And I need pastors listening to me right now to understand what the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court said that you cannot mandate what churches do as it relates to worship services, indoor, outdoor, etc. Location and capacity limits on places of worship are not mandatory but strongly recommended, said the new guidance, stated and said the changes were a response to recent court rulings. The Center for American Liberty, which had filed a string of lawsuits against Gavin Newsom on behalf of churches, applauded the move. Governor Newsom should have done this a long time ago, said Harmeet Dillon. For over a year, the state of California had targeted the faith community for discriminatory treatment, depriving them of their fundamental right to worship. State and local restrictions on indoor worship to prevent the spread of COVID-19 had been in place for most of the pandemic. Most church organizations had followed the restrictions, but some fought them on the grounds that they violated the constitutional freedom of religious expression. Limits on indoor worship capacity were instituted in February to replace an all-out ban on indoor services that applied to most of the state because virus cases were high, because the Supreme Court had struck that down as well. So it's pretty clear. The Supreme Court has now said in two major cases in a state that has really messed up the entire handling of the virus, that you cannot thwart the meeting of people in indoor worship services in a church. See, it's important that churches do what they should legally before the law. But it's also nice now that the law has recognized that the churches should be allowed to meet, worship, and participate in their faith freely and without encumbrance. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.